amazing sight for an hour. There were lots of questions. Yes. How many? Oh, there were 40. Really? Well, remember, afterwards we ask, if God is working in your life and you feel like he's leading you further, maybe into ministry, come forward and we'll pray over you. Two young men came forward. We all gathered around. It was the very last thing we did before we ended and went our own ways. But one of those young men is Vernon Slaybaugh. And Vernon Slaybaugh was born and raised right out here in Ashland community, came to our ministry, and eventually ended up in Bible college. This weekend, he is in Columbia, Missouri, working with a pastor. They already have plans to move there this fall, start missionary work in Columbia, Missouri. Isn't that awesome? I said, Vernon, I want you here so badly. Every ounce of my blood wants you here, but you need to be there. Because we have prayed every Tuesday night for 15 years. We've gotten together as families and people at our house and prayed and prayed. And one of our prayers was, send a missionary to Columbia, Missouri. And God sent a missionary. So, as you know, that's where Moe's Gingrich is, and so we don't know what all is going to happen there. But now, a couple other things that I want to just point out. Arlen Yoder gave this to me. Arlen's from Mansfield, is very involved in the ministry. He and his wife, Dee Yoder. But do you realize that other groups, not only Jehovah Witnesses, but Mormons are also out there trying to win the Amish? And they're making headways. We have one community here in southern Ohio where I believe six families have now left and become Mormon. And they had one of their 12 apostles from Utah sent in to start a church in southern Ohio. Now, these are tracts, I guess you'd call it gospel, not gospel tracts, but literature. They are written in Pennsylvania Dutch, put out by the Jehovah Witnesses. They are further along in some of their literature than we are. And, you know, honestly, there's a whole lot of other stuff out there that is looking and lurking in the shadows, trying to find the vulnerable, pouncing on them, and leading them even further down the wrong track. And so, I don't know if you want to look at these, but I find it interesting. It's written in Pennsylvania Dutch, put out by the Jehovah Witnesses. Also, quickly on the table back there, last year we did a two-day conference. You're welcome to pick that up for $30. There are actually testimonies, and we had two people get saved last year. It was absolutely amazing. But anyway, 17 sessions on 7 CDs, $30. You can take this home. We're also going to make this available on audio. Recently, I did a testimony. An interview, radio interview, and CD number one right here, Transitioning from Old Order Amish to English Society. It was one of the better interviews that I've ever done because it really, the person just knew how to ask the right questions. And I'd love for you to get this. This is, a 5-pack, and you can just pick it up. It's $10. Also CDs. And then, of course, we have a few other things back there on the display. You can look excommunication and shunning. And throughout my session, I'm going to refer some of the other gospel tracts, but every single gospel tract that you see back there was written for a reason, and they will be to your benefit if you pick them up and use them in your Amish community. Okay, if you go to your book now and go to page number 82, this is about where Samuel stopped. There's a sample ordinance letter there. You're welcome to just read that through sometimes, but it just gives you an idea of what this community's ordinance letter looked like and how detailed it is. And then we get to session number 6. By now, most of us are probably convinced that evangelism is necessary, and So we'll start out with why, and I want to say this, that for many years, there was really, the Amish were so cut off and still are so cut off from the rest of society. For instance, think about how readily the gospel is available to us through radio, through internet, and through TV, and even other ways, magazines, and shoulders that we rub with in our community. Everywhere we go, the gospel is there. But when we were Amish, we were cut off from all of that. We didn't have any access. It was just us. It was just our few books, and I laid them out here. We had the Martyr's Mirror. These are the stories of our forefathers and how they plunged to their death. We had the German Bible that we didn't understand. And then we had Hank Hershberger, Hank, where are you, brother? Where are you at? Right here. Hank Hershberger, right here, worked with Wycliffe, translated the entire Old New Testament into Pennsylvania Dutch. We got a copy of that up here. We had our songbook, which is also in German. We had two different types of songbooks. We had the young folks and the older folks. And then we had the prayer book. We always read our prayers from the prayer book, also in German. Remember that the German language is the holy language. You're welcome to take a look at that. When I was considering this ministry, I thought, how are we going to reach them? And this is what I told myself, and I would almost bet that you probably have told yourself, we could sit back and do nothing. We could pretend it's impossible. We could ignore the desperate need, or we could wait. This was mine. I'll wait for a more qualified person. I had all kinds of excuses why it was too difficult to evangelize Amish communities. However, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider this truth. This is a fact that sexual and verbal and emotional abuse is at an historic high right now in Amish communities. We put out a publication called The Amish Voice that goes out every other month and has since 2007. In that publication, we advertise various books. We have sold case after case after case of this book right here. It's on the display. You can even pick it up if you want. But this guy, Bruce Langeman, has been on our Amish Voice conference line, which is the first Sunday night of every month, and spoken. But this, the title of it is To Kill a Lion, Destroying the Power of Lust from the Root. Many of the women, the wives, are buying these for their husbands, and I've seen husbands buy multiple copies of it, pass them out. They are struggling with sexual just as much as we are in our culture out here. They don't need TV to deal with that. They, you know, it's everywhere. We live in an age where the spirit of sex is so out of control. And I don't care if you live in the jungles or you live in the cities. It is a spirit that is becoming more powerful, and it's turning into all kinds of weird stuff. And the Amish are affected by that. Okay, consider also that turmoil and unrest and division among the Amish churches are at an historic high. The young generation is asking questions. And since they're not getting clear answers, they're going to outsiders, English people. Most of us in this place that come from an Amish background were in some way heavily influenced by outside people. You have, in some ways, you have more inroad than we do because we're excommunicated and looked at as a threat to the rest of the community. Number four, hundreds of Amish people are placing their faith in Christ every single year. And in Indiana, the last few months, there was revival. And I don't know, Stephen Schmidt, if you will share any of the revival, I don't even know if he is in here, but there is revival that broke out. Literally, it got the attentions of every Amish community. Some of the people, of course, held back. Other people's had lots of questions. But God is moving in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. God is moving down in Holmes County. I was just recently, a few months ago, I was down in Berlin, Ohio, and I was in a room with 300 mostly Amish people. I could not believe what I saw. There were Amish people getting up from their table and walking up and sharing their testimony, how their community was excommunicating them and turning them over to Satan. And other Amish people were stepping up to the plate and taking them into their churches. There's a lot of confusion going on. I couldn't believe it. Amish people. And I looked at the Burkholder and I said, surely some of these Amish people don't know the Lord. They're sitting here. But you have Amish sharing testimonies to other Amish. I mean, I'm just excited. Sometimes I think maybe God is going to let us have revival one more time. And maybe it will come from the very people that we kind of forgot about. And we think, you know, we don't know who they are. And then all of a sudden, because I tell you, you'll hear Ephraim tomorrow, and you've heard a few other ones. When they get saved all over. You see, the problem is, here's the problem. My own children have not paid the price that I did. To them, salvation doesn't mean as much as it does to someone who paid the price. So therefore, these people that are getting saved are coming out and they are saying, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what the cost is. I will do whatever it takes to stand for the truth. And we need more people like that. You know what? It's not our forefathers that we lift up. It's the ones that through the ages have passed on the torch. And today, we have the torch and we need to keep passing it on. Now, go to the next page. I put a big stop sign here. Sometimes when I'm in a church, you know, they'll say, well, we're going to start a movement right here out of our church. We're going to set up a ministry and we're going to reach the Amish. Most of the time it falls on the pastor. The pastor already has 1,000 other things to do, but everybody looks to him, and when he's not able to keep having prayer meetings, to keep having meetings and talking about the need of reaching the Amish, it kind of goes nowheres. So I feel that I've gone there, I've given them a whole day and maybe traveled another day to get there to do it, and then it goes nowhere. And I'm saying this, lay people, go back and say, God has spoken to me, I'm going to be the one to start this ministry to the Amish. Don't wait for the pastor to do it. You do it. Because you're just like me. I was just an average lay member. You know, when I went to missionary school, I didn't get to say this earlier this morning, but when I went full time, somebody said, well, you should go up here to this missionary school for 1 week because it will help you know how to go out and speak and present your burden and raise the funds you need to do this ministry. And so Esther and I and packed the kids up and we went there. And you know, there was a day, like on day three, we had to share our ministry in 3 minutes. Yeah, I think it was 3 minutes. And then the rest of the people in the class evaluated you. When that happened to me, I folded. I just went out. The lights went out. I stood there. I couldn't say anything because I knew I was going to get evaluated. This is how difficult it was for me to go into this ministry. I didn't think I could do it. You know what they did? Out of the 25 missionaries, they gently grabbed me and took me back into another room. And they sat down and cheered me on and A few hours later, I'm back out here to give it. One pastor felt so sorry for me. He said, why don't you come and speak to our church? And we've become very, 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 very good friends with that church up in Shingle House, Pennsylvania. They have been one of our biggest supporters. But you know what? Don't ever say God can't do anything through you, because he can. He can do it if you let him. Okay, now let's keep going. Three ways to connect with your Amish community. As I was thinking about this ministry to the Amish, I wondered how can we? Because I'm thinking it's not like going to Africa where you take a whole group of young people or whoever adults in and you do a crusade or whatever, evangelism, or build something for the Amish. It's more you sneak in. You throw the fish line in, you know, just like fishing, really quiet, no disturbance, and hope you catch a fish. But as I was thinking about these things, this came to my mind. They may not have a radio, TV, or internet, but they have a mailbox. That's where we started. For those of you that went over and had a tour, wasn't it awesome to see what God is doing? Thousands and thousands upon hundreds of thousands of pieces of mail going out every year out of that little building over there. What we did, guys, every Amish community, if you don't know this, or not every, but most, have an Amish directory. They're like phone books. You go to your community, you ask for a directory, and you open that thing up, and you will see Dad, mom, and all the children listed. It will have their address, the date of their birth, and that's what we started with. And you can see here, we got, these are like gold. I think we have every directory that can ever be gotten. But then somebody say, hey, I found a new directory, and we grab onto it, and we will do this. We will take that directory, and we will go through and we will find one child out of that family and send them a Bible lesson. If we get a response, we'll send them lesson number two and give them an opportunity to sign up the rest of their family members or friends. And that's how we have gained over 35,000 students that are on our mailing list and in the Bible club. To date, we have over 2,200 salvation decisions that have come back in the mail. This is our biggest mailing. Okay, we also have the Amish Voice, which is back on our display. You're welcome to pick that up and see what that's about, the Bible Club. In fact, in your packets is a brochure that gives you an opportunity to sign up for a number of families. Like, you can adopt 100 families for us to send the Amish Voice to. Or you can help pay for so many students to go through the course for 1 year. So those are some ways that you can get involved in reaching the Amish. Now, the second way that you can reach Amish is through the former Amish. Think of it this way. Former Amish are already outside of the box. They're starting to think more freely. And you can get to know them, become friends with them, and sometimes they will be your doorway into the community, into their families, where you can then share the gospel with them. Here's a picture. Levi Yoder. Remember this guy? This guy had already tried to commit suicide. He found us on YouTube. He called, and we realized that we were only about 45 minutes apart from each other. And so I said, Stephen, let's get together. So he came to the office, and we were back and forth a little bit. And one day we're driving down 545, and I said, Stephen, if you died right now, where would you go? And he says, well, I think I'd go to heaven. He had left the Old Order Mennonite Church from out here. And I said, well, Stephen, if the Bible gave you or told you, if we could read from the Bible that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven, would you let me share the gospel with you? And he said, sure. And I just parked my car right on the side of 545. I reached over into my glove department, and I got my Bible out, and we went through a few scriptures. He got saved, and he was so excited. He couldn't hold himself down. We had Bible school in this place that week. He came back. He was jumping up and down and yelling, I got saved today. You know, remember that? When you were all excited? I got saved. My sins are going. Amen. Never, ever, ever to be remembered again. That's how he felt. He was so excited that a couple weeks later, he brought Willie. Now, Willie was one of those Mennonite guys that was still in the group. And I still remember, I happened to be in the home church that Sunday morning, and Stephen and Willie came walking through there, and Stephen just came right up and he goes, Willie needs saved. Can you tell him how to get saved? And I was like, well, Stephen, it's right before the church service. Can we wait till afterwards? And he said, oh, I guess. And that day, we were right back here in that corner. Everybody else had left, and I was sharing the gospel with Willie. I pulled my pen out and I said, Willie, I want you to think about something. I said, you've told me all these things, why you think God would allow you into heaven. And I said, it's not that they're bad things. He told me baptism. He told me church membership. He told me parental obedience. He told me following the rules and traditions and all of the things that we heard and believing in God and believing that Jesus died for my sin. And I said, man, Willie, I said, I want you to think of this pen as Jesus. I said, now you've told me a whole lot of stuff, but I said, I'm going to remove all this other stuff. Baptism. Let's take it and move it over here. I said, church membership. It's not so bad, but we're going to move that over here. I said, parental obedience. The Bible talks about that, but we're going to put that over here. Being plain and simple and hardworking and honest, all those good things, we're going to put those over here. We just one after the other until we came down to just a pen. And I said, now I want you to look at this pen. Now, can you see Jesus clearly? I said, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no child will enter the gates of heaven without Jesus. You know, that's what it took for Willie to see the gospel. See, we make the gospel so complicated. We make the gospel, we try to add all of our stuff to it, and it clouds over the simplicity of Jesus who said, I am the way, not a way, I am the way, the truth, the life. And if you want to get to the Father, you have to come through the door. And when I did that, Willie got saved. Willie got saved. And Willie was excited. Now, Willie went home, and I went to Canton, Ohio, where I had a missions conference for 3 days. I'm sitting there. Willie calls me on day two. And Willie says, Joe, I don't know, but he said, I was sitting up last night with my girlfriend. Her name was Kathy. She's a Lutheran, but she and I are boyfriend, girlfriend. My mom and dad don't like it, but we were talking about those things. But I started telling her about Jesus, and she wouldn't get saved. But would you, I told her, if you came, she would get saved. Would you come? I said, absolutely, Willie. I went over there. I remember sitting on the floor. There were not enough seats in the living room. We sat in a circle and got the Bible out. And that night, Kathy got saved. Now, okay, now let me tell you what else happened. Levi, you remember that? Out of the excitement, all the Bucky Mennonites came from everywhere. Some were saved. Some were hungry. One lady, the one girl, got kicked out, was a school teacher. She got kicked out of the school because she was not submitting under the authority and was coming to these Bible studies and doing some other things. It all started with leading one man to Jesus Christ. The third way that you can evangelize your Amish community is face-to-face. Now, this is the hardest one. I told you a little bit this morning. It's not fun to get yelled at and screamed at and told to leave and never come back. But you almost have to look past that. I know people that have worked with Amish people for years and years and years. Sometimes they come to the Lord early, sometimes they don't. But either way, understand that evangelism is more of a process than an event. Now, and we're going to talk about something, we're going to flip the process and event here later. But when you're working with Amish people, you have to understand that this goes back generations deep, right? You're not dealing with what you see. You're dealing with generations. My great-great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad, and I. And you're telling me that we were all wrong? I hear that sometimes. So you have to think about it as a process. You have to first gain their trust and their respect. Number two here, I put down there, intentionally look for ways to serve those in your community. The older I get, the more I realize the importance of serving. You know what I mean by serving? Washing somebody's feet. Literally, take your shoes off and let me love on your dirty feet. How many want to do that anymore? But we're dealing with a soul that will never go away, that is for eternity. Be friendly. Learn their interests. Provide taxi service for them. Utilize Amish businesses. Invite them to a cookout. Share your pies. They love deals and bargains. Sometimes you'll find them at the hospitals and the jails. Find out when they have birthdays and give them cards or gifts. And then evangelism approach. We're going to talk a little bit about the approach here. Ask open-ended questions. I want to spend a little bit of time on this. If you were to run into the most religious man on the face of the earth, how would you start to evangelize him? He was stooped in religious, man-made traditions. And let's think of the Apostle Paul. If you came face-to-face with him, how would you evangelize with him? Where would you start? Would you start preaching? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Jesus is the Son of God, and he went to the cross, and he died for your sins. What if he didn't believe all of that, or he added a whole bunch of other stuff? Is that how you start? You know how you start with religious people? Don't ever preach. Ask questions. That's what Jesus did. All through the Gospels, you will notice that when the religious people came and they had questions for him, and they were going to trip him, guess what he did? He didn't answer them. He asked them a question. And most of the time, they shut up and went home. Religious people have to be challenged with a question. Now, my wife, her sister's here, Lucy, and her husband. My wife was a young girl, and her dad, their dad, told her to go and make a phone call and invite the veterinary over. And Esther said, the first time I thought, well, isn't it kind of wrong to go over there and make this call if we're not allowed to have a phone in our house? Second time, she asked her dad, Dad, I don't understand. We shouldn't even use the phone if it's sinful to use the phone. And her mom and dad said, don't worry, Esther, just go make the phone call. Do you know what was happening to a bright young mind that was still trying to figure out the world? And somebody comes along and says, don't worry, don't think about it, just do what it said. The third time she said, Esther will share this testimony. The third time she said, I cried all the way over. It didn't make sense, but I stopped asking why. And all of a sudden, you turn 10, and then you turn 20, and 25, and you raise your own children. And what do? The same thing that your mom and dad did. You shut the next generation's bright young mind down. And so when you come up against that, You have to ask questions. We have a whole bunch of questions in the book here. If you go, they're survey questions back in behind page number 105. Simple questions. Simply ask simple questions. Why do you dress plain? What do you think about Jesus? Do the Amish people teach about the Holy Spirit? How does an Amish person get to heaven? Just ask a million questions, and this will get people to thinking. Number two, show that Jesus alone saves, which we've already talked about. I always carry a pen. The only time I don't carry a pen is when I go to bed at night. This is my favorite object when I share the gospel in many, many other ways. I always say, if you could see everlasting life and I could hold it before you on my hand and you could see it and touch it. And Jesus came to you and he says, salvation is a free gift, but you have to receive it. Would you? See how you can use it over and over in many other ways. Sometimes object lessons like that will help a person understand salvation. Number three, repeat that salvation is a free gift which cannot be earned. Is John Burkholder in here? John Burkholder. I never forget. John Burkholder was saved. But one Sunday morning, we're sitting in the Sunday school room, and we talked about, it's not what I can do for God, it's what he has done for me. And I saw the lights just come on like crazy in John's eyes. You know, I remember when that happened in my life. Oh my, there's nothing I can offer to you, God. You have done it all. It's finished. It cannot be earned. Salvation is free. No strings attached. God's gift is everlasting life. This free gift is everlasting. I look at this and I say, now, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through the church, not through baptism, not through anything else that I can do. It is through Jesus Christ and him alone. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Later, John writes, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. God's gift must be received. I have been in churches, obviously, since 2000. We've been in churches, probably 500-600 churches. And every once in a while, something big happens. I have seen young men come running down the aisle and get saved. Last 2 weeks ago, we were in a church in eastern Ohio, 2 hours from here. And one of the worship leaders afterwards comes up just weeping. I don't know what it meant. I didn't ask. But God did something in her heart that morning. I remember the day I walked into another church in Canton, Ohio, and the deacon's wife came forward and got saved. They were in everything. You know what that told me? Many, many people know all about the gift of everlasting life. They have touched it. They have looked at it and turned it around and figured it out and told other people about it. Sometimes a mother might come along and says, son, remember when you prayed that prayer and you asked for that gift? And later the son says, I still did not have that gift. But tonight, I understood that I had to reach out and make it mine. Until you do that, it will not be yours. That's why I feel like our churches are the greatest mission fields. They know so much truth, but they have never received it for themselves. Number two, you have to accept God's gift now. You have to accept God's gift now. Today, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And lastly, assurance of having God's gift. Tomorrow I'm going to share a few pictures and stories about young people that have recently come to Christ. I always love this part, when their eyes light up and they realize for the first time that they can have assurance of their salvation. Now, we don't have time. We've already talked about God's righteousness, self-righteousness. I was in a room full of Amish people one time out in the shop, whole bunch of them. There was even a preacher in the mix. I had purposely grabbed two jackets on the way out. One was white, the other one was black. And I printed out a whole bunch of scripture verses, about 12 or 14 or 15 of them. And I gave each one of them, and we talked about God's righteousness. When we talked about God's righteousness, I put my white coat on. And I said, when I stand before God, I can either have my God's righteousness on, or I can have my own self-righteousness on. And I just jumped back and forth. Tremendous, powerful way to present the gospel. That day, an Amish woman who had about six children came forward, just crashed. She said, I've never heard the story of Jesus like that. In that room was a man that was an alcoholic, that later his own father shipped him off to Minnesota, where they spent over $30,000 to shoot fluids into his veins in order for this young man to get over his alcohol problem. And the Amish lady, who was from a Schwarzentruber group, was the first one that had ever heard that Amish woman had an abortion. These were the people that were sitting in that room when I shared this gospel to them. Cultural do's and don'ts. First, we have the do's. Can I just ask you, because of time, read down through there and learn some do's. Be genuine. I will just choose this one for a moment here. Sometimes I was telling people yesterday, I said, or today I guess it was, I said, we got married Amish and we didn't have to wear a wedding ring or exchange wedding rings. But then I came out here and I was in this church for 15 years. And one night, we were just getting ready to go into the ministry, and this lady says, I need to talk to you. Her name was Joe. We always laughed about, hi, Joe. It was really funny. She used to go here. She goes, I need to talk to you, Joe. I says, okay, Joe, whatever. And so after the service, she comes up, and she goes, you and your wife are going into the ministry. And she said, now you guys aren't wearing a wedding ring. Now, if you go out there to churches, people are going to think that maybe you're not married, and it's not going to look good. So my wife and I talked about it for about 6 months to a year. And finally, it was the hardest thing I ever did, go spend $150 for that wedding ring that I don't like. I still don't like it. I wore it today, but I don't always wear it because I'm always afraid it's going to grab somewhere. And I don't think it makes me any more married. These are just my Amish thoughts, my Amish ways. But anyways, so I'm wearing this ring, and I'm out in Lagodi, Indiana, and I have this opportunity to go into a Mennonite church. I get up behind the pulpit to preach, and I didn't know, I didn't think about it, and some guy in the down there saw that I had a wedding ring on, and he texts me the next day, and he goes, I was so close to walking out of there. We've never had anybody stand behind the pulpit with jewelry on. Okay, but I say this, be genuine, wear your jewelry. If you wear shorts in the summertime, wear your shorts. You know what helped me get over that mountain? The same people that will gripe about shorts, pant legs cut off here, will walk around with sleeves cut off here. And I'm like, what's the difference? That's just, how we, all I'm saying is just be who you are. That way they accept you. Don't, okay? Many of our churches, I'm over my time, actually. So we're just going to, let's see here. Abe, would it bother you if I just quickly went through this? I have 5 minutes. Possible stumbling blocks to accepting the gospel. And the next one is jump start your evangelistic change. I think that might be it right there. I've already said, here's a stumbling block. Quickly, I'll say this. That means my father was wrong, my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather. They were all wrong, and they all went to hell. If I get saved, I cannot be Amish anymore. That's what Samuel said. Or no, it was Jonas. Jonas's dad says, well, people that talk like that leave the Amish. Okay, those are big things. And the third one, if I get saved, I will be cut off from my family, my friends, and church. You know, the thing that constantly made me go back to the Amish 6 times is when my dad would come in and lay on the front doorsteps on the concrete all night long. I go to bed that night, wake up the next morning, and my dad would still be laying on the concrete steps out front. And then he'd say, if you don't come home right now, we're going to cut you off. You'll never be allowed back on the property. And then I'd go back to the Amish. And I'd be back there for a while. I can't take this anymore. And I'd leave again. And here, Dad. And back and forth. It is difficult. All right, Abe. I have 5 more minutes. Do I have an hour? Oh, you know, I remember giving myself an extra 15 minutes. Samuel had it, and I said, Samuel may not make it that long, so I gave myself 15 more minutes. Okay, so then I will take the opportunity to tell you that back there on our display table, this is Eli Stutzman from Canada, wrote this gospel tract, My Amish Vows to the Church, Are They Binding? You've heard different ones talk about excommunication and shunning. We had 3 levels of discipline in the church. The first one was just simply a public confession before the church. The second one was more of a go down on your knees and ask for forgiveness type thing. And then there was a 3rd level that was excommunication. It was the highest level of excommunication or discipline. It meant that you would now be cast over to Satan. And when that happened, your family members and all of the church members would treat you like an unbeliever. They wouldn't eat with you, depending on what some people in the community didn't feel they could take anything out of your hand. If you were married, you could not have any sexual relationship with your spouse until the church decided that you could come back into fellowship. When we got baptized, we went down on our knees and we made a vow to the church that we would never leave or forsake the church. We would always stay there and help build. Of course, when someone leaves the church, the first thing that is said is, you broke your vow. That's what this is for. Many Amish people struggle, or former Amish struggle with that. One night, I didn't sleep at all. Up all night. We had a young girl from Michigan that lived with us, and my wife and her got very close. She had a car accident, almost died. She was in a coma for 3 months. But we went back and forth to Columbus Hospital, Grand Medical Hospital, and I just knew that I needed one night. I was like, Lord, you're asking me to go share the gospel with mom and dad. They were very hard. They were very legalistic. And so I'm down there, and I told the I don't remember his name. I said, we're sitting there, mom and dad sitting here. I'm sitting on this side in the cafeteria at the hospital. I said, all night I've been thinking about this. I said, you see salvation as a process, like a process that is a lifelong process. If I do, and eventually at the end, God might accept me. That's how salvation was to him. But I said, do you realize that salvation is an event? It's an event. Until the process of growing and maturing can begin, I have to have an event. And so I wrote that gospel tract. Children, obey your parents. This is a big one, but I want you to pick this up, if you would. Faith and works. Remember Jerry Guest was here and talked about this Amish lady that wrote about grace? In the back of this gospel tract, it's the 2nd half. The 1st half is Paul Miller, who works for Matt. I don't know if he's here. The 2nd half is Mrs. Miller, as we will call her. She was New Order, still is. She wrote about grace. You will have to pick it up. Some of the biggest, most educated men in ministry would not be able to touch that article. That's what it looks like. God was with her. The other thing is 25 changes that take place the moment a person is born again. Don't have assurance of your salvation? 25 things to go, bam, all at once, the moment you come to Jesus Christ. The last one, 1 million years from now. 1 million years from now, and it has Amish people looking into the universe. It's a gospel tract, and there are others out there as well. Thank you. Ape, there you go.